Good morning, everybody. I'm not going to lie, I am a little nervous. And you think after sharing my testimony for the past 6 months that I wouldn't be, but I am. So, thank you so much for having us. I know that you do have a group of people that's been praying for us for a long time, and I just thank you so much because I know for myself and for each of the women here, we are an answer to prayer, either our parents or people that have come across us or people that the Holy Spirit has told to pray for us. That's why we're here. And so please keep praying for us and just for our center. So I have been given the opportunity to share a little bit more about Teen Challenge. I know that quite a few of you probably do know a bit about Teen Challenge, but for those of you that don't, Teen Challenge started in 1958 by David Wilkerson, who's the author of The Cross and the Switchblade. And it's just an amazing story, actually. That book, the first time I read it was when I got into the program. And it's a story about a man being obedient to God. And because of him, there's over 1,000 centers worldwide of Teen Challenge. And so many lives are miraculously changed. And I believe that is because it's a one-year program. I've done a three-month program in a treatment center, which was, it was Christian, but it wasn't enough for what I needed. I'd spent 5-6 years in addiction, and I'd spent pretty much a lifetime with very bad habits and behaviors that were damaging to me. So you need that year to kind of reset your mind. And also, we are immersed in the Word of God. Like, they compare it to a year and a half of Bible school. That's how much of the Bible we are getting every day. And that's what we need because, for myself, I'd lived in the world for so long. I believed the lies of the world. So this year, it's kind of like a fast. We don't get TV. We don't get secular music. We don't even listen to the news because we are able to just focus on the Lord and focus on what he's doing inside of us. So we're able to be transformed from the inside out, and that's what we need, and that's what works. And by the grace of God and his power, I graduated in July, and looking back, you know, it's nothing that I had done. It's definitely God's grace that kept me, and it's people's prayers that kept me, because there's days when it's just like, I can't be here anymore. This is so difficult. The things that you're dealing with are just, you know, on your own strength, you can't do it. And that's what we're forced to come to God. We're forced to cling to him. Anyway, so that's something David Wilkerson started over 50 years ago. So in 2000, actually the church that I was attending opened up the Yarrow Men's Center. So it's actually kind of a miracle that I came to Teen Challenge because my mom was involved in the men's center in Teen Challenge even before my drug addiction started. So it's kind of interesting how it's completely come full circle on that. I've now graduated the program. The women's center has been open since 2003. And we are at maximum capacity at 10 students. We have 9 right now. So it's a bit of a full house, and we are believing to be opening a second house. We're trying to get our student capacity up to 20 students, but we need the finances to do that. So just this past year with there's been just a financial kind of downturn just with the economy falling, so does centers like Teen Challenge, centers that are based on donations. So we took quite a big hit in April, but God has blessed us so much since then. Things are getting back up to the way they were before, but we still do need people to be financially supporting us. The best way to do that is by sponsorships. So you can sponsor a student. It's $30 a month, and with that, it provides everything we need for the whole year, food, clothing, teaching. We are blessed to have our worship and teaching instructor, Jessica. She's been with us for a couple months, and it's just awesome to be able to have someone that can lead our center in worship. We didn't have that before. We were just kind of listening to the CDs, and then we'd get our director, Anna, preaching, but we're able to move within the worship when the Holy Spirit's leading for Anne to be able to pray for us and be led in that way. So we're very much blessed. I was going somewhere with that, but I can't remember. let's see. So, yeah, prayer, we need sponsorships. Oh, yeah, with sponsorships, if you sign up, we'll give you a book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Even if you don't sign up, I would suggest you reading that book. Like, it can increase your faith so much, just reading about how God really moved and led David Wilkerson. There's also a need for volunteers. Well, I guess you guys are kind of far away to drive all the way out to Abbotsford, so just keep on praying for us. That's what we need. If you are ever out in Abbotsford, you want to come over to the center for lunch, come. We've just, over the past year, have really renovated the home. It's a beautiful home now. We used to have kind of old furniture, old painting. A really awesome story with the house. It was donated to us. That's the reason we were able to open the center. A woman, I can't remember her name. Margaret DeBoer, donated the house. And since then, just we've been able to get curtains. People have donated furniture to us. People donated paint. Carpeting, so if you're ever out there, just come over for lunch and can hear some of the girls' stories. We'd love to hear your stories as well. One of the verses I just wanted to share with you that the Lord really spoke to me over my year in Teen Challenge. It's from Genesis, just the story of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph, just what he had been through. And with my Christian walk, I was raised in the church and had a heart for missions. I wanted to go to Mexico, actually. I'd done a few missions trips to there, and I really wanted to go back there after I graduated high school. Anyway, so I had a pretty, like, even life. You know, not a lot had happened to me. But just over the past years, God has brought me through a lot. He has had his hand of protection upon me and has saved me many times. So Genesis 50, verse 20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And the enemy tried so many times to destroy me, and God is so much stronger. And for all of the women, you know, the enemy has really tried to hurt them because he knows what potential lies with each and every one of those lives, because they've got stories, they've got giftings, and I know that they're going to do so well when they're done here. So it's encouraging. It's so nice to be a part of this. And just continuing on after my graduation, I got offered a really good job. I'm going to be working part-time at my church, in the recovery church there, just doing ministry and stuff like that. And you know, a year ago, I would have never even dreamed that was possible. And God has blessed me so much. And he is able to meet all of our needs far more than we can even imagine. So I just want to give the mic over to our three senior students, Amanda, Sandy, and Rayanna, and listen to their stories, because that's what we're here for, right? To share with you. So be blessed today, and thank you so much for having us.
Hello. I'll come back by this hiding space too. my name is Amanda, and I have been in the program. I'm the next to graduate, and I've been in the program for, I think, just under 11 months or around there. I am graduating at the beginning of November, and I just have to say that you are such a blessed church to have Pastor Dave. Like, he is such a blessing to come out every Monday or on the occasional Monday monthly to come and talk to us. It's always, you guys get awesome messages here, and he's just so filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just awesome to hear you, and it's a blessing. I thank you, and you are so blessed. So I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. I went to Bible camp in the summer times. I had the stereotypical Christian kid growing up. I graduated high school, and I went to Bible college, and I thought in doing all these things that was going to get me on the right path. And what I had missed throughout all of my childhood in the church and stuff was Jesus and the aspect of a relationship with him. And I found that I could go to all these things and do all these things, but if I didn't have Jesus in my heart and didn't have a relationship with him and was not constantly interacting with him daily and depending on him, that it wasn't going to work out. I did Bible college. I wasn't in a right state for Bible college. It was too heavy for me. I didn't do well there. And so then after that, I decided I could go to another college and try for another diploma. And I thought maybe being a police officer would be a good idea. And I got a criminal justice diploma, and that kind of fell through as well, because I didn't really like the justice system, and I could think of all these excuses as to why I shouldn't be a police officer. And then I realized that I wasn't really looking to God for his direction. I was going by what's in my head, and oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea, maybe I'd like to do that. And I still didn't have that relationship with Jesus. And then I got out of a bad breakup and moved from southern Alberta to Victoria and got into the hospitality industry there and started up more education and ended up with a hotel and restaurant management diploma. And then the hospitality industry just kind of took me out. And there's nothing wrong with the hospitality industry. It's just when you get involved in that and it can take you out. And what I've learned through being at Teen Challenge is that you've got to just fight. Like, you've got to fight to stay on the right path. I was thinking about where I was at last year exactly. And like Michelle was saying, God has really protected me. The devil really has tried to take me out in many ways. And I think back to exactly a year ago this Sunday, I had overdosed and I had called my dad that Sunday night and was talking to him and told him that I had a drug problem. And I had been involved with drugs since I was about 13 years old. And this was just something that I was a functioning addict. I could go to school, do work, not sleep, and get decent grades. Like, it was unbelievable how that happened. I don't know. So I had to call my dad, and he said he had no idea anything about drugs. They're naive little southern Albertans. They didn't know much about any of that. So he said, get to a church. And that was a scary thing for me because I thought a church mixed with, like, addictions, that never really kind of came. I never put that together. When I grew up in the church, I thought nobody had any problems. Everybody was perfect. And I was the only one that was the sinner in the place. And I didn't want to tell anybody that. And I just wanted to get in and get out kind of thing. And it was just so to have to go to a church was really scary, but it also felt like the right thing to do, and it was interesting how God led me there. I got to this church in Victoria, caught the last 10 minutes of the service, and it was all about addictions. It was all about leaning on Jesus, surrendering completely to him. God set me up. He set me up. And I ended up going to their Celebrate Recovery meetings, which is a Christian 12-step recovery, which, again, is like breaking my stereotype of church and addicts, and everything was just kind of whoa. So it was interesting to go to that and to realize that God can be involved in people's hurts, and God can be involved, and you don't have to be perfect. That was a big thing for me. I was so worried about looking so good on the outside, getting all this education and working and being successful that way, and it just wasn't ever good enough, and it didn't really matter, and I still came crashing down really hard. And then after that, I talked to the pastor in that service, and he told me about that recovery group and also said, I think you're supposed to go on this recovery retreat, which is a one-time-a-year retreat that would be the next weekend, which miraculously enough, I get to go on it again, which is a really cool thing that it all worked out that way. But that retreat was epic for me as well. I got to know God in a new way, and it basically steered me towards Teen Challenge, steered me back into the church. I hadn't walked into a church in 6 years. I had kind of totally turned my back on God because I knew that I was a sinner. I knew what was right and what was wrong, and I was doing the wrong thing, and I was doing it knowingly, and I couldn't take doing, you know, being in the church and knowing I was doing wrong things. I was stubborn. And so being able to come back to Teen Challenge and see that, like, a lot of the people in our recovery center do have church backgrounds. So that's been just something that's kind of broken again, the stereotype in my mind. And also learning so much in Teen Challenge, like more than I did in Bible college for sure. But I was also in a state where I desperately needed God. And I find that when you realize how desperately you do need Jesus, you become able to do whatever he wants you to do. And I find too, like, all the people that were going to high school and university here, it's such a new step if you haven't done it before. And you really do have to fight to stay on the right track. Like, that was, like, the start of my downfall. The real downfall was when I hit the freedom from my parents and freedom from all that. It was just really hard to stay true to God and to keep my eyes focused on him because there are so many distractions. And it's something that's been such a enlightenment for me in Teen Challenge that I can depend on him. I don't need to know what the next plan is. Even I can don't need to focus on my past. I don't need to even focus on my future. Focusing right now, right here on Jesus is exactly where he wants me to be right now. Right now, I am exactly where Jesus wants me to be right now, and I can sit in that and rest in that, and that is such a comfort. And when we go through hard times at Teen Challenge, and there are hard times, it's hard having less than 2 months left in the program and thinking, I don't need more time. Why do I want to stay in this house full of women that are crazy sometimes? We're fighting sometimes, and it's not a perfect world. It's an amazing household of women, but obviously, like, you combine that many women in a house and there's definitely dynamics. And having so soon to stay is, like, it's hard. And hearing you talk about graduating and it being such an accomplishment, I was thinking about that last night, and I was thinking about what I'd written in my journal right at the beginning when I'd come, because I really was not, I had no idea about recovery. And I didn't realize how strict Teen Challenge was until I got there. I didn't realize a lot of things until I got there. So it was a real shock. And I was saying in my journal, like, God, if I make it through this program, it's going to be an absolute miracle, because I just want to leave. And I did that, like, daily for months. And it was just at about a 6 month or 7 month point that it finally changed, where I realized that I need to just stop fighting what I had as my expectation for Teen Challenge and just kind of relax and rest in God and just watch him change. And it's been a slow process. I feel like, for me, people say that I'm changing, but I don't see it that much. But it's exciting to see what God has in store and the calling that is on our lives too. Like, Michelle's got a dream job. Like, it's an awesome job there. Oh, and yes, I will tell you one more thing, or maybe two more things. The attacks that come before people come into Teen Challenge are pretty huge. Like, we start praying when we have a girl on the list and she's ready to come in, she's filled all her requirements up, we start praying as a center for that girl, for protection, for her to stay on course, to keep calling every Monday just to stay on, because that's when the attacks really come. When Satan knows that you are on the track for Teen Challenge, he really starts to take you out. And for me, I was driving from Victoria. My dad had packed my house up with me, and he was driving his vehicle, and I was driving in mine, and we stopped at the Teen Challenge Center in Abbotsford, dropped off my suitcases, and I continued on driving. And he was going to go back to Alberta, and I was going to Kelowna to see my friend, and I was whipping around this Merritt, just outside of this turn in Merritt, and it was going really fast, and got lost control and hit some gravel on the highway and just started spinning and flipping, and just there was the ditch. I slammed right into it, and I feel like it was just like, I was going fast, but I feel like Satan was just like, whoop, and my car just, it was worse than ice. It was insane to be on those little rocks going really fast. I don't recommend it. I ended up like waking up from that accident. I was upside down, my music blaring, and I am stuck in this car, and I see this window at the back, and that was the only window that was broken, so I thought I'd try to climb out of it. And then I get stuck halfway in and out of this car. So I'm like in and out. It was really precarious. And these poor people drive up and they see me in and out. And I think the guy thought I had landed like that. And he was all like, oh no. It was crazy. Like he was freaking out more than I was. And so he called the 911 and they had to joss me out of the car because I was so stuck. And the car was written off. And my dad was 10 minutes behind, and he saw the accident, and he pulled over. He couldn't tell that it was my car, but he said a prayer for the driver. He didn't think he could do anything for the help. Yeah, and so he kept on the road. So those, yeah. So, and I looked up as I'm stuck in there, and I see him, like, driving away, and I'm, like, freaking out. Yeah, and then, so the guy that called 911 that was freaking out as well, he called my dad and told him that, like, that accident you saw was your daughter. And so he almost got into an accident on his way, busting back to see me. And it was really kind of crazy how, like, God protected me in that whole thing. They finally jossed me out of that, and I walked from that accident. And, like, all I had was a black eye, which was really good for my before picture. And, like, and, like, really sore arm and sore back. But, like, it was unbelievable. The fire crew said that I was the best patient they've had because I got to walk up to the gunny or the whatever it is, and they clamshelled me up and put the neck brace on. But it was really, like, pretty crazy to, like, A, be saved from an accident of that caliber, and B, have my dad right there, and to be able to walk away from it. I was half an hour in the hospital and then out, and it was really interesting to see that, like, it's crazy. The car is, like, crumpled except for the driver's area. Like, it's just like God had his hands on me in that, and he protected me through that. And I've had, like, 3 drug overdoses to finally realize that I needed help, and God protected me through all of that. And it's just crazy that, like, when you grow up in the church or have interactions with God, he has his hand on you throughout your life, whether you're with him or not, whether you turn your back totally on God, he still just is with you. And I feel like I just kept moseying along and got so deep in the mud that he just kind of finally sucked me out, stuck me in Teen Challenge, and here I am. And it is just like an absolute miracle. Like, it's a miracle that I am able to stand here and glorify God when I have been so the opposite. Like, it's just an amazing privilege to be able to be here and talk to all of you and to be able to tell you how great God is. And this church is a great church too. I feel like such community in this church. And I was thinking about, like, when I'm done graduating, how important community is and how important it is to be such a family. Like, this is such a family atmosphere here. You can just see it. And that is so awesome. Like, you're so blessed. This church is so blessed. You can just feel the presence of God, and it's like an old, comfy presence, because this church is just so much character in here, and it's just a real privilege to be here. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I hope that we're able to be a blessing to you as well. So, thank you.
I love your dress.
Hi, my name's Sandy. I've been in the program just about 8 months now. I've never written notes when I've spoken before, and the Holy Spirit always tells me what to say, and he hasn't told me. So, but I've been sitting here through the whole service watching your family, Pastor Dave, and I was thinking, you know, 7 years ago, that was me and my family. I was married to a very successful businessman. He was a vice president of a bank. And we had 4 beautiful children. And we were wealthy and Christians and looked a lot like your family. And now here I am as a student in Teen Challenge. I also grew up in a Christian home. However, it wasn't a good home. There was a lot of sexual abuse and physical abuse and mental abuse. But unlike a lot of people, I didn't turn to drugs or alcohol because I believed in God. And I believe that, you know, things around me were chaotic and bad. But if I just kept doing the good thing and the right thing, that God would pull me out of these situations. And he did. When I was 20 years old, I met the man that I eventually married, and we met in church, and we went to Trinity Western together and got our degrees and married and had our first child all within, you know, a couple years, and our life was going really well. He progressed up the, you know, ladder of success, and I became a stay-at-home mom, and we had a beautiful life. But as he got busier at work and I got busier with our children, and we moved all the time. We moved every couple of years to progress his career faster. We both fell further and further away from our belief system. We still went to church and tithed and everything, but it was more because that's what we knew we were supposed to do, and both of us just kind of lost our relationship with Christ. Then I guess about after our fourth child was born, he lost his mother and got very bitter towards God. And so not only now had we fallen away from Christ, he did not want Christ in our marriage at all. We didn't go to church anymore. And I, as a good wife, did what he said, because that's what good Christian wives do. And he worked more and more, and I got lonelier and lonelier. And I was really confused because, you know, I had done all the right things. I had, you know, gone to the right school, and I had, you know, had such a hard upbringing, but I still loved all my family. I forgave them all. I forgave my godfather who abused me. I forgave my father who was so mean to me. I was a good girl, and I was really unhappy, and I was really lonely, and I really hated my life. I hated my life more when it was perfect than when it wasn't perfect. And so I started drinking. And my husband would go away on his business trips for five days, 2 weeks. And I would put my children to bed. And, you know, the housekeeper would leave and the nannies would leave. And I'd have everything settled and beautiful. And I'd start drinking wine. And I did this for about a year. And would drink more and more wine so that in the morning I would get up and, you know, all these miraculous meals were cooked and all these things that happened in the night I had no awareness of because I was, you know, working in blackouts from about 10 o'clock at night on. Still didn't think I had a problem because I was drinking really expensive wine and I was rich. And everybody knew that alcoholics lived, not too far away from this church. You know, they didn't live where I lived. When I finally reached out for help, it was really hard to get help, because nobody wanted to admit I had a problem. Because if I was an alcoholic, then there was problems in my family. And if there was problems in my family, there was problems in other people's families. So the church didn't want to help. The medical profession didn't want to help. And it was a really hard time for me. During that time, I became a hardcore alcoholic. I started doing what alcoholics did. I drank vodka instead of nice wine. And I hid the booze. And I drank during the day and all the things that I was told that that's what alcoholics do, so that's what I did. And I ended up very quickly losing my husband and losing my children and losing my home, and that came as a real shock to me, and that happened about 5 years ago. And all of a sudden, all I had left was alcohol. So I spent the last 5 years of my life drinking every day, drinking as much as I could possibly get my hands on, and drinking every day to die. I didn't drink to have fun and to go out and be sociable. I never left my home. I just drank to die. Every night I would drink as fast as I could before I passed out, and every morning when I would wake up sick but alive, I was very angry because I didn't want to be alive, but I was too good of a Christian to kill myself. So I thought if I just accidentally died, then that would be okay. A year ago, it just about worked. A year ago in September, I was on about a 3-week blackout, and my family at that point had given up on me, had no contact with me anymore. And family members stopped by my home and was really appalled at what she had found, apparently. And I don't remember any of this, because when you're a blackout, you're still functioning, you're still drinking, you're still eating, you're still doing things, but you have no knowledge of what you're doing. And my house was full of blood and vomit and urine, and it was a disaster. It was a brand new beautiful home that my uncle built for me, and it was a mess. And I ended up in the hospital, and apparently I was bleeding to death. I had over 120 ulcers from excessive alcohol intake over the last 5 years, and I made it through. I thought I was dying. They told me I was going to die. They basically put garbage buckets in front of me, and I threw up blood as my ulcers were bleeding, and they were pumping blood in to try and keep me alive, but they didn't think it was going to work. I had till about 5 in the morning before they couldn't put in as much as I was losing. And at about 3 in the morning, when I consciously saw my life leaving me, I changed my mind. And I thought, I don't want to die. I have 4 children. I want to see them again. And through my condition, I started screaming out to God in the hospital, God, I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind. I don't want to die. And I really meant it. For the first time probably in my whole life, I really wanted to live. And he saved me. And he brought me to Teen Challenge 3 months later. It took a while to get in. And Teen Challenge has been a miracle for me. At 41 years old, if I had kept drinking the way I had, I would not be here. I would be absolutely dead. I should be. So being at Teen Challenge is not a miracle just because I've become a spiritual woman who loves God, but I would be dead if I wasn't here right now. And my children wouldn't have a mother, and they really love me. That would be really tough on them. I think the biggest thing that I've found since I've come to Teen Challenge is freedom. I think that I've lived most of my life in roles. You know, I've been a student or a daughter, then I was a wife and a mother. And when I lost all my roles, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was very confused and very unhappy because I didn't have something that needed to be done. And that's when I discovered that my biggest role in life is to love Jesus. And so that's what I'm learning to do, is put my love to Jesus, put my hope to Jesus, and to trust him. And it was actually a message that Pastor Dave gave one chapel service, saying, basically, do we really believe that God's good? And I talked to him afterwards and told him a bit of my story, because, you know, I always believed that there was God, but when I really thought of it, I didn't believe he was good. I thought he was kind of a creep, because, you know, I was a good girl and he turned his back on me. And in the last few months, I've discovered that he has never turned his back on me. He has always been there, you know, cheering me on and crying my tears with me and, you know, helping me up off the floor every time I fell. And I didn't believe that for 40 years, but I believe it now. And I've had a lot of miracles since I've been in the program. I had my children with me for the month of July. They stayed with my mom and dad's in Hope and our centers in Abbotsford. And I hadn't seen my children for a year. And it was a miracle because they kind of gave up on me. They didn't think they would have a mom much longer. And when I came to Teen Challenge, they weren't very hopeful. They said, well, you know, because I'd been to numerous programs, as many of the girls have. So they were not hopeful. But when they came, they saw a difference this time. You know, mommy was happy and mommy wasn't crying all the time. And just the sadness was gone. You know, even when they would leave on their visits, I would hug them and kiss them and say, you know, I'll see you next week. And they'd be like, well, why aren't you crying? And I'm like, because I'm happy. You know, I hate the fact that I'm not going to see you for a week, but I'm really happy because I know I will see you again. And my 2 younger children accepted Christ, and my 2 older children were reminded of Jesus. So we'll see what happens with that. Graduating in 4 months. I don't know what I'm going to do. My biggest prayer is that I will get my children back. They all want to be with me, and I want them. So that's something that I pray for daily. So if anybody wants to include that in their prayers, that would be great. Because I don't know, it would be a very big court battle, but God has moved a lot of mountains in my life, so my ex-husband should be easy for him. And just kick him down. I don't know what he's going to do with that. Just kidding. as Amanda says, you know, it's not easy living in a house full of women, but I probably have had more love from these women who I've never known before than I've ever had in my whole life from my family. They don't necessarily hardly ever say the right thing, and they're certainly not, you know, spending all day long trying to make my day better for me. But, you know, it's a struggle. It's, you know, it's hard there. But, you know, we genuinely love each other. We would do anything for each other. I have seen the enemy attack these women left, right, and center. The enemy is real, and he is disgusting. He is a horrible, vile, lying thief. And he is doing everything he can to take every one of these women out. And I could sit here for the next hour and tell you everything he's done to each one of these women, because I watch it, and it's terrible. So your prayers are needed more than you will ever know, because there are some days when it could really be the last day of one of these women. And when a woman leaves this program, they're not leaving because they've got a better option. They're leaving to drink or do drugs or to have sexual promiscuity, and they will not make it out if they leave. So prayers are important and they're powerful, because if these women leave, they probably will not make it. They probably will not keep their lives. And Satan spends every day, all day, trying to get them out. And when we sleep and we can't fight for each other, then he comes into our dreams. And he reminds us of all the horrible things we've done and how horrible we are and how bad we are. And, you know, instead of waking refreshed, you know, we're waking up scared. And we're always fighting. We're doing spiritual warfare every single day at that center. It works, though. They're all still here. Yeah, amen. So praise God for that. It is a battle, but we are winning. We are winning. So thank you. So thank you very much for having us and for your prayers. And this is my sweet friend Rihanna, who's been here exactly 3 weeks less than me.
Yes. My name's Rihanna, and I've been here 7 months. I have 5 months left, and this week I think has begun a crunch time for me, where God's just really, he's telling me, like, it's not a game, this is serious, and I have some serious choices to make. He's working right now on my dependence on him. Since I was 3 years old, I adopted a spirit of independence, and just like I can do it on my own, and that hasn't got me in a good place. So this week he has been speaking to me about depending on him, and this is a new concept for me. I'm a missionary kid. I grew up in here, the States, Australia, and all over Asia. I went to 12 schools in 13 years, so I was the new girl all the time. This kind of upbringing, I learned how to stuff negative emotions to be able to fit in, because you can't show negative emotions and fit into new environments. So just smiled a lot. I struggled with belonging, and also my perceptions of God were that he was the boss, the mean boss from my parents. He would pop a check in the mail when he saw that we were getting really low, and he would decide on his own agenda, like when we needed to move again. And so this as a little girl, like I was the oldest of three, and that was my perception, and wasn't right. But I also grew up knowing the difference of, like, I watched people worship idols, like Hinduism and Buddhism, and I saw the difference between the presence of God and the presence of the enemy. I grew up knowing that so. It was very clear to me because I saw it. But yet I decided to rebel. When I was 11 years old, I watched my mom make some big mistakes. And so I just decided that I would no longer receive discipline. And so I refused my parents' discipline. And just this past couple weeks, I've realized that that action, I was good at self-discipline. I would, like in a certain way, I would beat myself up when I made mistakes or whatever. But this sort of thing got me with some very faulty thinking patterns, because, like, this is a new revelation for me just in this past 2 weeks. Not submitting to authority. I was just this little girl, like, making my own right and wrong. And without that protection, like the umbrella of authority, I've just realized that God has a lot of work to renew my mind and to bring truth back. So I'm submitting. And yeah, when I was 15 years old, I began binge drinking and sex, just sleeping around with my boyfriend or whatever. And when I was 16, I began to do drugs. A year after my high school grad, my parents were very concerned for me, and they spoke with a pastor, and he said for them to stop whining and get on their faces and pray for their daughter. So they began to pray, and they prayed simply, "God, your will be done in her life." And after 3 years of turning my back on God, suddenly all that I wanted was his will for my life. It was crazy. just complete change of mind due to their prayers. And so I quit all of the destructive behaviors, and I went to do a discipleship training school with YWAM, because I was brought up in YWAM, if you're familiar, Youth with the Mission. So I went to the Kona base, and there God planted dreams in my heart. He, two things he spoke into my heart. I was listening to people who had come back from outreaches in Thailand and stuff, and heard them speaking about their experiences with ministering to prostitutes, and something inside of me like leapt, and I was really confused, and in my head it was just like prostitutes, and I was like, what is going on? And I spoke to my mentor, and I was telling her about these things, and then another girl had been hearing me talk, and she whirled around and said, God has been telling me for the last few weeks that you're going to be used by him to minister to prostitutes, and I was afraid to tell you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was so cool. The second thing was that I was trying to decide whether to do a school that was going to be multicultural, so it would have been going to various nations, or this new school that was Japan-focused, and it was $6,000 to go to this school. I had to decide by a certain date, and I asked God, I was like, I have no idea which one I should go to. I already have summer clothes, so I think you should send me to Fiji or something, because otherwise I'll need to get winter clothes, because it was wintertime in Japan. And I asked that the next morning, please just let me know. So I was 50-50. And then the next morning I woke up, I was like 1,000,000%. I had to go to Japan. It was like he had just spoken so clearly. So I had $500 myself, and $5,500 came just miraculously. And God very clearly led me to go there. So that was in 2004. When I got back to Canada, I wanted to make the appropriate decisions to get back to Japan, to follow God's plan. But my problem was that I was not dependent on God. I returned, and I basically was searching for a husband. I thought that I could do anything for God if I had a husband to partner with and, like, to depend on. I thought that that was all I needed, and I could conquer the world. So I met a pastor's kid from a Japanese church, and we were engaged. We were in a relationship for 2 years. We compromised in purity, and I think that that was the reason I couldn't hear God clearly. It was after 2 years of relationship, I was finally open enough to hear God say, like, this is not the right one for you, and so I broke up with him, and this was like, basically I just felt like all my dreams and hopes were shattered in this moment. I began a year and a half sex addiction with emotionally abusive men, and I came to Teen Challenge 7 months ago with my self-worth and my value were so low. I had just believed so many lies about myself that I had no worth and no value, and I had no future, and I was covered in shame because
I just felt like I was a Christian and I screwed up so bad. And yeah, these were just big lies that I was believing. Deep in my heart, God had planted these dreams. And so my deepest desires were to walk in purity. That's what I wanted. I wanted to preach about restoration of purity to prostitutes in Japan and tell them that Jesus can make your whole being whole, and no matter what you've done. And that was my desire, but yet I was in my own inability to walk in purity. So it was a direct opposition within me. And so I've come here, and God is amazing. I just want to share two verses. So 7 months, there's a lot of correction that he had to bring to me, a lot of faulty thought patterns he had to get rid of, and just restoration of my perception of him and my perception of myself. So I've been praying and I've been asking God, will I ever be free? Like, can I really experience freedom from, like, will I ever be able to walk in purity? And I was working on some of my, we have classwork that we're assigned, and two verses like popped off of the page last week. One is Psalms 25:15. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. So my eyes are ever on the Lord, and only he will release me. He will only he will give me freedom. And Ezekiel 34:27. They will know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who enslaved them. So I will know that he is the Lord when he breaks the bars of my yoke and rescues me from the hands of those who enslaved me. And these just screamed at me like, he is going to give me freedom. And it was like, I'm holding on to this, and I believe this now for everybody. These verses were written for every single person. So today I stand here. I'm scared of the future. I feel like I bit off a large bite when I agreed to like be a missionary to prostitutes in Japan, because it's scary work. But so I'm shaking like a little girl. But this is where I know that I'm dependent on God, because I cannot do that at all. I can't even stand here today without him. Like, I was so nervous before, and I just know he's standing with me. So this is where I'm learning to depend on him, because that's the only way that I can live. So thank you so much. This is a beautiful church. Yeah.
Well, thank you all for sharing your lives with us.